Welcome to the Remnant Call. This is Brother Frank tonight coming at you again with my co-host, Brother Todd. How are you doing this evening, Brother Todd?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Wonderful, wonderful. Glad to be here with everybody this evening. And we have an exciting program tonight because Brother Todd has had something on his heart he's wanted to share. And so I told him, share it. And let's see where God takes us on our journey this evening. You know, another week has passed, and I will say this week has been crazy. It has been filled with some things that just make me wonder how much longer until everything absolutely falls apart.
Yes.
You know, I often, growing up, remember that the being told that Jesus comes as a thief in the night.
Yeah.
And then that in itself can kind of be, wow, I a little scary maybe to some people. But then when I realized that after reading the word that he comes as a thief in the night to those who aren't watching, to those who are not awake, to those who are sleeping, I realized how much God wants us to be awake and actively watching for his return.
Ain't that the truth? Yes.
And so I remember Jesus, he's at the end of his life and he's there in the garden and all this emotion is coming over our Savior of these just absolute unparalleled atrocities that have been committed through history. And what I'm talking about is all the sin of the world is being laid upon our Savior's shoulders. And he's there in the garden and he's the Bible says that he's sweating blood. And they've actually proved this can happen medically. And so there he is doing this. And at that moment, he needed one thing at that moment. And that was for his disciples to watch and pray with him. And so he goes in there and he's in agony and he's like, and he's feeling this pressure and he's like, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine will. He's feeling that human side of the emotion, but he knows that he must go all the way. And at that moment, he needs the disciples and he goes back out and he feels, or he sees them sleeping and he says, couldn't you just have watched 1 hour?
Yeah.
Saints of the Most High, are you watching right now? Is Jesus going to come upon you as a thief in the night? Or is he going to be the one that you've been looking for? And this, lo, this is our God who has come to save us. He doesn't need to come as a thief to those who are watching. So I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, tonight, keep looking up. Keep actively looking, watching, waiting for the Lord's return, doing the things that he wants you to do. You know, I heard something very encouraging this week, and it's really exciting. And it goes like this. If you're not willing to sail into the storm, how can God ever say, peace, be still?
That's powerful.
We got to get into this battle.
Yes.
We got to get into this. It's a war out there. And it's not a war that can be fought with our flesh. It is a war that will be fought in the spirit and won by the power of God. Let's open tonight's prayer, brothers and sisters, with tonight's program with a word of prayer. And let's just ask God to come down and bless this program as Brother Todd shares what's on his heart to edify the body so that we can come out knowing, you know what, we're going to make this thing because the one who we serve is greater than anything in this world. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you would just bless the program tonight to be a blessing done to others, to build your body up, to realize that we can make it through these last days. And Lord, even though times are going to be tough, there's going to be trials, there's going to be hardship, there's going to be times where we're going to wonder, is God still there? But Lord, let us remember at that moment in your word, may it come back to our minds when you said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen, Lord. Amen.
God, I thank you for that promise that I can wake up today. I can go to bed tonight. I can be in a crisis tomorrow and know that he will never leave me nor forsake me. So, God, I thank you for these promises, and I ask it tonight in the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus, Yeshua, our Lord and Savior. And you said if we ask it in his name, you would answer it.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Todd.
Yes.
You've had something on your heart lately.
Well, you know I have. And it's really been pulling at me, I guess, for quite some time. I received a text message from one of my good friends in Maryland today. He tells me that things are a little bit tense up there. Things aren't necessarily what they would call stable as far as people's emotions and people's feelings, and especially that feeling of safety that people have. Things are falling apart everywhere, I do add. I have to say, this world has been polluted with selfishness, with ruthlessness, and every debaucherous thought and action that the enemy has skillfully forged. Oof, do you know what I mean?
You are preaching now, yes.
Well, you see, the enemy to the Christians, we all know who I'm speaking of. I'm talking of Satan or Lucifer. He's used every foul instrument in his arsenal to construct an atmosphere devoid of decency or free thought and holiness. It's funny because when you go and you listen and you're paying attention to these pundits and hear politicians say, you know, we want free rights, we want rights for all, and people are trying to fight this battle of intelligence and trying to open the door for free thought. It's anything but when you step back and take a look at it. What do I mean by that? Okay. For instance, one of the issues that's taking place right now, which is the Black Lives Matter movement, the BLM movement, they're trying to push their agenda for equal rights. And we all do have the freedom of speech, and we all do have the freedom of thought. However, if your thought goes against what they think, what they're spewing, they will instantly tag you as something, and it's not good. You'll be called a racist, a fascist, this, that, or the other, but they seem to be completely insulated from this event. Now, I don't just want to pick on them. I'm just using that as an example.
Can I say one thing about that?
Yeah.
Just so our audience understands, I'm white and Todd's black. So he's not just speaking off the cuff. He is a black man. And matter of fact, one of our other close friends are Hispanic. And I think all three of us together, we are a little politically incorrect at times.
Yes.
But thank God we have ourselves as friends broken down the racial barrier because we are one in Christ. And I just wanted to stop and mention that. So many people today want to throw up that flag. Well, you're not black. You don't know where you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, I could have been tagged as a racist right there.
Yeah.
It was close.
So almost. All right, good. Sorry.
So anyways, so this is the basis that I'm working off of when I'm talking about free thought. And we are atmosphere today is devoid of holiness as well. The working of these instruments have created a thick fog, which has slowly over time whitewashed the defenses of the bride. We, the church, are the bride of Christ. Our defenses and our instruments are easily being, maybe not easily, I'll refrain from using descriptive words, but they're being overthrown. And if you don't believe me, you just go watch the most famous evangelist right now, or I'm not going to call any names, or the most influential Christian TV show or whatever it is, and listen to what they're saying and compare it to the word of Christ. Something has seeped into the church that's making the bride completely divert to anything but Christian side. the walls on which our watchmen have stood have slowly been eroded. It's been over time. Remember, this world is a few thousand years old. Satan has had his time to just slowly erode our values, erode everything that we fight for, everything that we hold holy, erode the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You know, that's interesting that you say that, because that reminds me of when I was younger and in the faith. And a lot of people back then can say, well, the church, we weren't as loving, we weren't as caring, we weren't as tolerant. And tolerance. But, you know, there used to be a foundation for which believers in the Lord, in Jesus Christ, stood for.
Yes.
And so when you say those walls have been eroded, I see what you're talking about, because it's like the standard by which God has set has been lowered in order to reach the world. So it's kind of like you take the wall down, now everybody can jump
in.
Right, yeah. Instead of coming up to where God is, you want to bring God down to where you are.
Yes.
And to make it even worse, there's not as many watchmen on the walls anymore.
There aren't.
And that's sad. So I get where you're coming from on that.
Yes, yes. It's no secret, friends. True worshipers of the Most High are under attack. We should not be surprised. Let's take a look. Frank, can you read for me, talking about this subject, Mark 13:13?
Absolutely. Let me...
A little context as to why we shouldn't be surprised that we're being attacked. And if there's any question that Christians are being attacked, look very closely just at the news. Look at the military.
If you don't think that Christians are under attack, I just don't think you're watching at all.
Yeah, there's no way.
What else to say? Mark 13:13. Here it is. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Wow. That's huge. So he told us what was going to happen in both instances, that we would be hated. It's going to happen. We will be hated.
Those are not always the promises that they tell you about in church or when you come to this knowledge of salvation. It's usually, well, Jesus will just improve your life. He'll make you happy. He'll have great blessings of mass wealth, and everything will be happy, happy, happy.
But wait, Frank, what about my best life now?
Exactly. They don't always tell us the other parts, is that when you take on this role of a believer in Jesus, that you might not always be the most popular person.
Right.
If Jesus wasn't popular, why should we be surprised if we're not?
That's true. If we're supposed to be followers of a man who was killed by his own people, how is it that they can put up with us so easily?
Thank you for that word.
In this war which has been waging since the act of Lucifer divided the angelic hosts, we must be very clear, very careful to keep our eyes on God and remember that our help comes from the Maker of heaven and earth. Is that not true, Brother Frank?
Yes, I agree. It's so easy to get distracted. We must keep our eyes on Jesus.
You see, our fight is a spiritual one, and it is not one of flesh and blood. My friend, it is so easy to be sucked into the lusts of this world. I know someone knows what I'm talking about. You can't deny that it's easy to be sucked into the lusts of this world.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
look at the people this week with this new Pokemon.
Oh, my goodness.
Pokemon. I'm not a Pokemon player, but, I mean, people are running into running into poles because they're not paying. They're so sucked in. And it's only been out for, what did they say, since last Thursday or something?
Yeah, yeah.
How does one game take the world by storm that fast?
Right. And the thing is, when you say take the world by storm, it doesn't quite make it. Okay, so my friend sent me a meme of a man about 40 years old.
I don't actually know what a meme is. I'm a technology guy. What is a meme?
A meme is, I'm going to show you right here. A meme is just a picture with some, it's a picture with some text under it.
Okay, I got you now.
So if you look at this, this will be hilarious. It's a picture of a man who's about 40 years old, and it says, "Hey, this is Fred playing Pokemon at the age of 40."
Wow! Yeah,
that's not an overstatement, because grown men and women at my job, 30, 40 years old, 25, are playing this game. And I work in a job where, well, I shouldn't say too much, but
yes. Well, you need to pay attention to people. Let's say
you
that.
Need to pay. It would be a good idea to pay attention to people and not a fictional character that shows up. Anyways, we're getting off the topic here. But the lusts of this world are sucking people in. It is not always strip bars and booze and, you know, shoot 'em ups and all the vile, baser things that people think of when I say lust. Entertainment is lust. Playing a game is lust. Anything that makes your flesh feel, you know, more satisfied, that is lust. And, you know, when we get lost in the cares and pleasures of the here and now, we become vulnerable. Our armor gets dismantled, one compromise at a time. Mm. When I speak of the armor, I'm speaking of the armor of God, you know, the helmet, the shekels. And,
a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
Oh.
You said one at a time. It seems like it doesn't take long for compromise to multiply.
Right, right. So don't think for one second that a little bit of compromise here won't lead to you compromising in a large area. Later on down the road. You see, though you might be doing well in your own eyes, the very deep inner parts of our hearts are crawling with the tendencies to revert to our base natures. The psalmist declares in the 51st chapter and the 5th verse, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." This is the psalmist speaking, and we all know that David made some terrible mistakes. He said, "I was sinful at birth." From the time he was conceived, he was sinful. And I believe there are other texts in the Bible that can back up the fact that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. This is so true of you and me, Brother Frank, and everybody listening. Our nature seems to lean towards that of, well, sin. We will tend to gravitate towards the devices that speak to our sinful nature and begin to hate the character of God if we don't have that armor on. Let us remember, saints, God wants us to reflect on who He is. He is able to use this sinful vessel and clean it up and put it to some use for His kingdom. That's why we're talking about the divine character tonight. We're talking about our character, the character that can only be achieved by grace. It's a gift. It's something that we must willingly and openly confess that we don't have and we need, but only God can give it to us.
Absolutely.
Brother Frank, can we take a look at 2 Peter?
Yeah.
2 Peter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As I'm turning there, when you mentioned the 51st chapter of Psalms, the 5th verse about David, I find it interesting is that no matter David, he messed up a lot. And we all do. I mean, we don't even have the right to compare ourselves to David. I don't feel anyways. As bad as David, we see things that he did. I feel like I've done much worse myself. What I like about David is that he was brutally honest.
Oh, yeah, he was.
You know, he wasn't trying to hide. He did at one point, but when he was called out, he came clean. And here he's just saying it how it is.
Yeah.
I was sent. And so I think, you know, when God finds a person that is willing to be honest and open with who they are, folks, God doesn't want us to stay in that sinful character forever. What Todd was saying is right. We will naturally want to draw to that sinful nature if we do not have a different nature.
Yes, yes.
A different character.
Yes.
And so I appreciate that and what you're trying to say there, because I feel it's very important to not miss that integrity that David had. David was great at repenting.
Yes.
We can all take a lesson for that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So 2 Timothy, starting in verse 1, I guess we're going to run it up through verse 7. Is that correct? Excuse me. That's Timothy. Peter. You said Peter. And I stopped at Timothy. I'm sorry.
It's okay. You almost got there.
I was almost there. You know, it's all in the same book, right?
Yeah. It's okay. All good.
All right. 2 Peter. All right. Here we go. Verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, that's a wonderful verse, because he's talking to us, the believers. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Savior, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity.
These precious promises make it so that we might be partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean to you, Brother Frank? Breaking down here where it says in verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature.
You know, I read this verse 4, and when it says that all these precious promises, it's like God has given us all these promises in his word, everything that we could possibly need so that we could be a partaker of his divine nature, divine character. God doesn't want us to stay as we were, but to now become as he is. I remember in that there was this story of a guy who, he was really upset. His father had all of a sudden turned gay, and now his uncle was gay, and he went to the preacher, and he was really upset because both of them, he said, look, you know, my father's gay now, my uncle's gay, and they're telling me that they're born this way. And so the preacher said, well, tell them that you talked to the preacher, and he said that they needed to be born again.
Amen.
And so
amen.
What I'm trying to say here, folks, is that no matter how you are, no matter what science says about people's characters and the way it develops, no matter how much you think a person can't change, the fact is that the Word of God can change anyone. And God says, I've got every promise you need so that you can partake in my nature and not in yours.
Yes. And I notice here in 5, it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Stop there. Add to your faith. So with these promises, you have to have faith. With these promises that he's given you, you have to believe. You have to believe in these promises. You have to believe in God. when he gives you that faith, he's telling you, here, add to the faith virtue. Okay, here's some building blocks here. And to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. So he starts with faith and ends with love. You got a holiness sandwich right there.
Amen to that. Amen. So it's like this divine nature is like a tree filled full of all these fruits of brotherly love and kindness and temperance and knowledge. It's like God wants you to literally, this is the whole born again process, and become a different person than you were, knowing that your nature has probably gotten you in trouble. I know this may sound strange, and I'm so thankful that God gives us a free will because we can freely choose. But I've thought to myself before, I'm tired of my free will.
Yeah.
It's gotten me in trouble and then you go through the years. And I've said, God, I want your will, not mine.
Right. I freely anymore. And willfully and, make bad decisions.
Yeah. And I know that sounds strange, but I don't want my will. I want his will, because the divine character, the divine nature, it just reeks God in everything you do. Have you ever, I'll never forget, there was a guy who I was working with down in a town next to here where we live, and he, it was a construction, I was doing some work for a technology company I worked for, and there's the construction contractor was there. He never mentioned that he was a believer once, but I was so moved by his actions throughout the day that I was convinced he was a devout follower of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Like I mean, it moved me. Yes. And he never even mentioned at the job where he was at. He didn't have to. His actions, his character, his everything spoke that only God could do this. Well, I ended up talking to him, and after he came out, he was a devout believer.
Wow.
But his character spoke, screamed at me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's somebody who's embraced it. And I know God wants that for all of us.
Yes. Yes. Definitely. He does. I believe he wants our character to be, well, we just read it. And I believe God wants us to be holy. In 1 Peter 1:16, he gives a command. Be thou holy because I am holy. I believe there was a period after that. It didn't say, be thou holy if you want to, or be thou holy if it's convenient for you. Be thou holy if you can find time for it during your busy day. It didn't say any of that. It said, be thou holy because I am holy. If it were possible, he would not have, if it weren't possible, he would not have told us to do it. In order to follow this command, we must first be humbled by the fact that we are unable to perform such a supernatural feat, not even if our lives depended on it. But we have to realize that he is able. We have to first have faith. And this is when we start talking a little bit about brokenness, which you'll find is a consistent theme that goes on here on the Remnant Call, because we believe brokenness is the key to holiness. This, my friends, which is brokenness and holiness, is only available through complete and total surrender. That's the only way we can achieve these things. And we're going to keep on saying it until we finally get it. Because I know that a lot of people don't necessarily understand what that means. But that's what it takes.
Absolutely. You're right. I've often shared before that If you spend your life focusing and fighting your sin, you will live and die in your sin.
Yes.
But if you will focus and surrender everything to Him who delivers from sin, He will overcome all sin for you. I know it sounds so simple. It may be one of the absolute hardest things to understand in all of Christianity, that we have to stop trying to fight our sin directly, but actually focus ourselves completely on Him who delivers from sin. And by us focusing on Him, He in return sets us free from all sin.
Yes.
Sin started in the beginning from a broken walk with God. When Eve got away from the Lord and listened to the enemy, and then Adam also did the same thing there, the result was sin. Folks, you can't fight your sin. You got to fix the relationship. Yes. The axe needs to be laid to the root. I mean, we got to get to the core of the problem. And the core of the problem is when we have a broken walk with God. Fix the walk, He'll fix everything else.
Yes.
It's like your job, I believe, and I'll shut up after this, but it's something I believe passionately in. Your job, my job, our job as believers is to seek God. We know we cannot overcome on our own. We know that we have no power of ourselves. But our one thing we can do is seek the Lord. We can't even actually do that right, but we can come to God and say, Lord, I don't even have the strength to seek you as I should, but I'm asking that you will help me. And God takes over and gets in the game, and He sees that you want to do this thing.
Yeah.
That is our job, to seek Him. His job is to free us from sin. And it comes through surrender. And I agree wholeheartedly with what you said, because we know the Lord said, be holy, but we know it's not possible unless we surrender it, give it all up to Him, fix that walk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and I'll be quiet now, okay? Sorry.
No, feel free to jump in anytime.
I just got passionate about it.
No, we didn't notice. But see, I believe that the gist of what you were saying is that we got to keep our minds and our eye on salvation, on God. We have to. And yes, if, you know, for those who are believers and you're trying to win the souls of those who aren't believers, and you know, you got them asking questions like, well, what do I have to do to be saved? First thing you got to do is go to God, seek Him, look for Him. What does that mean? You know, it's hard to make this tangible for people who are growing up in a plugged-in society. Well, how about this? How about you start thinking about it? That's a really good way to start getting to it. How do I do this? God, I need your help. I don't know what to do. Boom, that opens up the door. Here it says in Romans 8:5-9, let me make sure I'm reading it correctly. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. That's a direct quote from Romans 8:5-9.
Wow, that's some heavy stuff. Amen. What a word. So what the Lord is trying to say, if we stick with the things of this world, basically, we'll end up loving the things of this world. So if your mind is in the world, if your mind is on the Pokemon, and I'm sorry, folks, you're going to hate me for this.
It's ridiculous.
But if you're involved in these things and you're wondering why your spiritual life is not victorious? Well, I think God lays it out here in Romans. If for those who are according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh.
Right.
Oh, and I know people are upset. How could Pokey? Well, you know what? I'm sorry, folks.
But Frank,
I'm against it.
But Frank, what about my evenings that I go to the theater? Even though I like to go to the theater every single week, and I love to discuss it on forums, and it's harmless, isn't it? It takes up some time, but it's harmless, isn't it?
Now, I can't take you serious with that kind of an English accent.
Sir.
I understand. You're right. There's nothing wrong, folks. We're not here bashing the theater or whatever, you know, or I don't know which theater we're talking, movie or the other theater. But the simple fact is that if it's distracting and you're always involved in the things of the world, don't be shocked when the world has overtaken you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear. The scripture is saying that the world, whose mind is on the flesh, is hostile towards God. And it seems to be that way, because when I say the world, that's my way of saying those who aren't believers and those who, frankly, I believe, hate God, because they want to do things their way. Their mind is on the flesh, the things that they want. They're hostile towards God. It's true. It's evident, and it's going to become more evident as time rolls on. The reason why it's found in the same text here, I'm talking about the text we just now read, the mind that is hostile towards God does not subject itself to the law. It's disobedient. The mind that dwells on things of the flesh is disobedient, therefore it doesn't subject itself to the law of God, and therefore it is death. I mean, that just seems to be a very clear line of action and reaction. It's kind of sad, too. But don't get caught up in this, folks. We've been given a way out. Amen?
Amen to that. Yes. You know, Brother Todd, it's the divine character of God is something that, as believers, we all know that we need. We all believe is important in our walk with God, yet sometimes seems so challenging for so many, including I think everyone who here has ever been a believer knows that there are struggles towards this wonderful thing called godliness. And for me, I have noticed in my own life, not just when I'm in prayer, really in prayer deep, or really, doing a lot of things for, that are godly, like just, keeping in the word, singing psalms throughout the day, things like that. But it's when I get actually involved into the work of spreading the good news, I find that it's like, that's kind of the for me, the peace that helps me come to that point of the divine nature.
That's very interesting, actually, that you say that, because, I'm not going to go too far deep into this, because this can be another discussion altogether. But when Jesus told the disciples to go, the Great Commission in Matthew, go and make disciples and this, that, and the other. It's funny because he was talking to some of the worst sinners out there. Matthew, he was a tax collector, wasn't he? Who were the sons of
Thunder? Yeah,
Thunder. So, yeah. He was.
We got the sign, the zealot.
Was a terrorist. He would have been an ISIS guy today.
We've got messed up people.
Yeah, yeah. So he's telling them. I'm just jumping off of what you just now said about how it bolsters your confidence and spiritually. It bolsters your spirituality when you go and spread the word. God told us to go and do spread the word, because he knows that is an integral part of us being saved as well. And that takes character. Going out and spreading the word of God does take character. It takes some serious courage to go and spread the word. And if you don't believe me, why don't you talk to the Chinese or some of the Middle Eastern, what was the sect of Christian that was very closely connected to Jonah's line.
Yeah, you're talking about the people over in Iraq that have been slaughtered in Nineveh.
Yeah.
That were actually descendants from the time of Jonah.
Yes. There you go. Mm-hmm. Go talk to them and tell them that going doesn't take character. And when you try to spread the true word of God, some of those people were burned alive. Some of those people were hung on crosses. Some of them had to watch while their children were being decapitated.
Absolutely. And some people can wonder, you know, why is this part so important towards character? Folks, the disciples weren't there yet. They weren't perfect yet. And through Jesus's ministry, there was times when he sent them out and they were absolute messes themselves, jockeying for power, very self-centered and everything. And God knows that going out and getting into the work, even when you don't feel that you're fully ready yet, is a part of that development piece.
Yes.
That brings this divine nature. If God doesn't put, he knows how messed up you are, right?
Yeah. No doubt about it.
He wants you to make it to the end, so he knows that you need to get out and get into the work, because it's in the work, in the battlefield,
is
where soldiers are made.
That's right, because you're going to need some strength when you get out into the battlefield.
Absolutely. I know from military service, okay,
right,
that if someone gave me a choice and said, hey, would you rather go to war with this fully read up, studied, fresh lieutenant out of college that has, he knows he's been to West Point, he's been to the Marine Corps, I'm sorry, I'm a little partial to the Marines. He's been to, to Quantico. He knows everything that's going on, and he's going to, he understands battle plans to a T because he's studied the last several hundred years. Or would you rather go with that old salty sergeant who's been battle tested and he's been through the war and he knows what's going on because he's been in it? I'm telling you right now, I'm going to take that old salty sergeant any day of the week.
Oh yes.
Because that's the man who's been in the battle. Yeah. He went in initially, he was green, but after being in there, his character, he was refined. He was, you know what I mean? Folks, I can remember being in Africa, up in the mountains, walking through with, in a full suit, because in Africa, as poor as they are, they will put on their best for the Lord. I know.
Amen.
People don't want to wear their best for God anymore, and that's truly a tragedy.
Yes.
It really is. If your best is a pair of holy jeans, then praise God for your holy jeans, okay? But if you can muster up a suit from the Salvation Army, which has cost $3, $5, and do give your best, because these people are so broke, they have absolutely nothing, yet they respect God in such a way that even when they go pray, they'll go clean themselves up to make themselves presentable before the Lord because of such a respect. And so I'm walking around the mountains. It's blistering hot, right?
Right.
I'm carrying, my suit briefcase little thing around with me. I'm in a suit. I'm sweating to death. And I'm ministering to people, eating, and I'm with my friend over there who's from up in the mountains, and there's always this worry I might eat something that's going to make me sick,
right,
or whatever, or drink some water. The water is dangerous. You got to, be boiled or bottled. For me, I don't have the antibodies. And so, but I'm having to pray. I'm out of my comfort zone, but I'm in the battle. And when I'm in the battle, I never worry about disobeying.
Amen.
I don't worry about not being in it, because
right,
I'm in God's will,
right,
and I'm in the fight.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
when I get out, and I'm idle,
here
comes the devil.
Yeah.
And he wants to attack you and attack your character.
Yes. Idleness is one of the greatest, most effective enemies towards a man's character. Frank, when you were about 25, if you were left to your own devices to do absolutely nothing with no instruction, how much trouble could you get into?
I think that we can go back farther than 25. Take me back to a child. Yes. It started young. I could get in a lot of trouble by myself with nobody else around. Yes.
Right. Right. And with this character development, in the book of Genesis, I see that God never meant for man to be idle. He never meant for us to be not tired. When you look at the tasks that man was given after the fall, you know, by the sweat of your brow will you till the ground, do this, that, and the other. Everything had to be worked for. Even before the fall happened, Adam had chores. He had things to do. He wasn't just left there to lay around and look at the lilies and say, hello, little baddie, you know. No, he wasn't. He was not idle. He had things to do, and it may not be drawn out in all particular detail, but rest assured that the work was never done in a garden that size.
Yeah, it's amazing. He was in paradise, yet he still did work in the garden.
Yeah, before the fall, even. Yeah.
And then amazing. He dressed the garden.
Yeah.
Wow. There's something about work that's satisfying. That's right. And there's something about heavenly work that hits so deep in the soul of satisfaction, it's Amen. Hard to even explain to other people.
You can't. They can only, like you were explaining about your employer, you can only see it.
Absolutely. And and the reason Todd and I are bringing this up, folks, is because we want you to understand that you can read everything in the Word that's in there about character development. And we see how God wants us to be partakers. But if you won't get into the fight, if you won't get into the battle, you're not the battle. You know, there used to be thing. And I saw one when I was in the Marines, I saw one, and it was a battlefield commissioned colonel.
Yeah.
He never went to officer training school, but he was a colonel. I don't remember what rank was when he was commissioned. I think it was in Vietnam. But he was commissioned to an officer in the field without all the schooling, right?
So he worked for those stripes, literally.
Old school. Yes, he was old school. You don't mess with a man like that, okay? No. He's got so much respect because he was enlisted, commissioned officer. And so it was in that. If he wouldn't have been in the field in that battle, he would have just remained that enlisted guy who, you know, and gone on. Nothing wrong with that, but
you're right.
In that field, he was. And I'm going to tell you what, he's more respected than all those who just went and got all the schooling and didn't have the battlefield experience like he had.
He could probably tell them what to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. You better believe it.
Yeah. You know, having divine character means being Christ-like, being God-like, being holy. And these characteristics are denoted by the attributes of being obedient as well as patient, pure, meek, humble, faithful, generous, disciplined, and also having integrity and courage. That's a lot. God, you're telling me that God gives us all these things if we just seek Him?
Mm.
This is ridiculous. This is awesome. You know, the world, the one I live in at least, does not display the attributes I previously listed. When I say the world, I'm talking about a lot of our leaders, our leadership, and the people out in the forefront, people on the TV that you see, the actions being depicted on these programs. They don't display these attributes. No. See, our godless leaders encourage us to love ourselves. Discover the best you now. Be loud and obnoxious when you get offended because someone has a different view than you do. This society has made it acceptable to deny sexual purity and seek fulfillment from who or whatever you want with no shame. The generosity that is applauded is the generosity that is paraded for attention and selfish motives. Children today are the most disrespectful. Frank, you have to agree with me on this. I've seen some deplorable actions by children. Yeah. I almost snatched off my belt on a child, somebody else's child once before.
You're going to spank them? Shame on you.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I'd probably be locked up forever. They're so disrespectful. They're more disrespectful than I've ever seen in my life. Because, well, maybe their parents were raised in the MTV age and MTV taught them how to be whatever it is that they are.
You know, it's interesting. My father once told me something that stuck with me, that a child who is not disciplined will rebel because they feel unloved.
My goodness.
And when discipline is done appropriately and properly,
yes,
it builds character within. That's why God disciplines those who he loves. He chastens those who he loves because he cares. And so sometimes when he disciplines us, you got to remember it's because he loves us. And I remember making a decision that I was going to follow through on my word with my children. And thank God we had good children. And I know not everybody, folks, you can't control everything your children do. And some of us, we beat ourselves up over our kids. You got to let that go. No matter what mistakes you have made, the good news is that you can start today by getting yourself right with God.
Amen.
And then put your children in his hands. But I decided some years ago that I was going to, when I said, don't do something, and I told my children again, don't do it or there would be a consequence. I made sure that I let them know, final warning, do it again and you will suffer a consequence.
Right.
And they knew I absolutely meant it, no matter what.
Right.
No matter what.
Yes.
And so not realizing that children, when they are taken care of, they realize that they are loved. And that's what God does with us. It's opposite of what the world says, like you were saying, where the world, you know, teaches us by MTV or whatever, you know what I mean, that all these things are acceptable. And God says, no, they're not acceptable.
Right.
And you don't need to be doing them.
Yeah.
And when you get off the path, I'm going to let you know that you shouldn't be doing, because I love you and I want you to come back.
Right.
This is what the world's character is like, not what mine is like.
Right.
Amen. Thank Amen. God.
Amen. You know, the only courage I can see being practiced widely and being accepted is the courage of the wicked to flaunt evil in the face of a nation, in the face of God's beloved. If we only had a Daniel today, maybe his example would spark hope in the hearts of the dormant Christians out there who are either too afraid to do anything or just don't care. I plead with you, do not let your mind be taken over by this evil that our country and this world is fully embracing. Do not let your resolve to live for Christ and exemplify him in your character erode. Repent. Let Christ replace your selfish, vile, and wicked character with his own. Are you a man or woman of character? Are you where God wants you to be? Are you fighting the good fight? If you can't say yes to all these, I want you to know that God is waiting. Do not be afraid. He will give you your strength and character when you need it. You need to recognize your helplessness and cry to the Lord for help. Just say with me, just say, help me. He's ready. He's willing. He's willing to come and help you. Just say it. Help me, Jesus. You don't have a clue how to give your life to God, or maybe you think you're too vile a creature and God wouldn't want anything to do with you. But my friend, I'm telling you, he's waiting. He dined with sinners, thieves, and murderers. He forgave prostitutes and liars, gamblers, and even a sinner like me. Take the first step, won't you? He has been waiting. Come with me and put on your armor.
Folks, thank you for listening tonight. I want to end in prayer and just ask that God would just do what you cannot do, and that's develop his character within you. And the reason you can't do it is because you need him, and he wants you tonight to just open up, let him in, and let him transform his life. And so as we close out, I'm asked that you just pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would help us to overcome, Lord, to be victorious, to let go of everything that's holding us back and surrender unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know that if we will let go and let God, that you will overcome and do that which which we are not able to do, that we can be more than overcomers, but fruit bearers for your kingdom and warriors for lost souls for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's my prayer in Jesus' name. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the Remnant Call.
Amen.